good. Call to order the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is the adoption of the minutes for our March 4, 2020 regular meeting. So again, let's take a couple minutes and look at this, and if anybody has any recommendations for changes. Are there any recommended changes?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I was present at that meeting. I don't know if that's what you were doing. I'll get it added.
Okay. Any other recommended changes? Okay. Is there a motion to approve as presented with the single recommended change?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next item is public comments. Is there anybody on the phone?
No.
Nope. Okay, hearing no public comments moves us to the next agenda item, which is old business. First item, 5.1, is review and report on proposed text amendments to sign regulations. Mr. Eldridge.
Thank you, Chairman. You should have the multi-page document in your packet. Anyway, you should have this document, a multi-page document, in your packet. These are the sign ordinance amendments that we discussed in our last meeting. And the only amendments occur in subsection G right here. And you can read through the strike-throughs to see how we remedy the situation. Before, well, the current text regulates political signs, and there's a memo in your packet that explains discusses why regulating political signs is actually regulating content, and based on a 2015, I think it was, United States Supreme Court case, that's a no-no. Mr. Batson, I believe, got an inquiry from a resident about the restrictive nature of this particular provision, turned it over to me, and my findings are that the current text, which is struck out here on the screen, does regulate content and therefore is impermissible. But it was an easy fix. Well, let me also point out that political signs was not defined in the code, compounding the problem or the issue that we had. The fix, though, is very easy. Temporary signs are defined in the code, and they're defined in such a way that they're content neutral, which is what is required when you're regulating First Amendment issues. So we simply substituted the word temporary for political. And we also removed the language that's currently in the statute that ties the erection of political signage, in this case you could say temporary signage, to the election, because that by implication also invites the idea that we're regulating content. So we removed any association with an event to get rid of that implication, and we replaced political with temporary to get back into content neutral, which is what we need. And the legal authorities say that you're okay prohibiting in the right of way and along the ETJ. And so that part was okay. You're also allowed, you also have the authority to regulate the signage on private property in two ways, be content neutral, but you can also limit the time, the durational period of that signage. School of Government recommends 90 to 180 days. In our last meeting, you all went with 90 days, and Chairman pointed out to me after the meeting that we needed to carve out, we needed to be a little more specific. So what I've done is 90 days has been a single calendar year. So those are the changes that are in this revision. Replace political temporary, so you're content neutral. Don't tie it to an event as it previously is, or as it currently is. And extend the period for signage on private property for 90 days, cumulative total of 90 days, been a single calendar year. So that's what we've done. That's what you've got in front of you to review and make a motion with a recommendation to council on whether to adopt these amendments or not.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Just a question. How does one, you know, for example, how does the police or John figure out what the cumulative total of 90 days is if you put something up in a primary, take it down, and put it up in general election?
Well, I don't think there's anything we can put in the ordinance that's going to alleviate that problem.
Okay.
Sure, it's an enforcement issue, and I would turn to John's expertise regarding the same. I think one of his comments was you don't regulate, you stay away from signage on private property in general. That's probably a general rule that's pretty prudent. Because I don't think things are going to become an issue until they become an issue. If they become an issue, get on the radar screen, we'll figure out some way to manage that time measurement. But I don't think we can plug anything into the ordinance that's going to address that problem specifically, unless somebody has some.
Now, I personally think having a well-worded ordinance such as what you have there provides a foundation that if a problem does arise, John or whoever could enforce something if there starts to get complaints and all that sort of thing,
yeah,
rather than trying to write every possible scenario.
Yeah,
that
John can start that clock if a complaint comes in, or it may be John's pretty observant. It may be something he notices and just kind of keeps on mental file. Becomes an issue. Personally, I'm not, it's a good point, but I'm not worried about it at this stage.
Thank you.
And the 90 days before and after an event?
We're not tying it to an event.
No, just 90 days cumulative.
90 days within a year.
I mean, it is a temporary sign by definition. So we wanted to, what we were concerned about is you could have it 90 days, they could take it down, and then a day later put it back up and start the trigger again.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you don't want that because it is a temporary sign. So, all right, is there a motion to
forward this on the council with a recommendation to adopt the text amendment?
Yes. I have a question before.
Oh, okay, yes.
I'm just thinking out loud. Is there anything to stop somebody putting a sign up for 90 days and then taking a day off and putting a different sign up or a modification off for another 90 days?
90 days in the calendar year.
That's. I wanted to make sure that says that if I'm on the property, I can only put up a sign for 90 days.
Right. I mean, somebody might try to get around it and put up a different type of sign.
That's what I'm thinking.
But
it's still a temporary sign.
It's
still a temporary sign, and any temporary sign.
Not the subject, but the fact that it's just temporary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll reread that correctly, so I'm good.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve and forward with our recommendation?
Yeah, could I make the motion that we approve and forward with the recommendation, council?
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And because this is a zoning
And then this will have to go to public hearing with council, too, if I...
Correct.
Yes, okay.
Let me read you the relevant part of the consistency statement. PZC requests town council's consideration and adoption of the proposed text amendments that we just looked at. that section of the code provides exceptions to sign regulations, and the current text regulates political signs. I go on to explain that that violates First Amendment rights as decided by the Supreme Court, and the proposed text amendment resolves this issue by replacing political with temporary, not tying it to a particular event. PZC finds that adopting the amendments would be reasonable and in the public interest, in as much as they are consistent with the community goals set forth in the land use plan of preserving environmental attributes, providing for the harmonic adaptation, and that's from the plan, that's not my word, of built uses in close proximity to one another and minimizing impacts on man-made and natural areas, all of which further the mantra of public health, safety, and welfare. If you agree with those findings, then you could entertain a motion to adopt the consistency, the proposed consistency statement.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good. All right, next agenda item is the graffiti ordinance. And just, again, a little bit of history going back to March. I presented a very kind of a straw man type of proposal that actually majority of it did come from a North Carolina community. Mr. Eldridge had a couple of comments and concerns regarding that, and where we left it before we started to go into the COVID-19 is that he would look at it and try to propose some changes to the wording that addressed the major issues that the P&Z had regarding that, as well as Mr. Eldridge from a legal point of view. So,
you ready, Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Drafting graffiti regulations ended up being a challenge. And I've set forth some of those reasons in the memorandum that's in your package. We discussed last time we met the different ways of enforcing such regulations, one being criminal, one being code enforcement, civil. Criminal, as I explained to you in the previous meeting, has the result under North Carolina case law of any fines that you collect actually belonging to the local school board. More to the point, there is a general statute that already criminalizes, I think adopted in 2015 and acted in 2015, graffiti vandalism. And that, in my opinion, after some legal analysis that we don't need to get into, it's my opinion that that statute would preempt any local, any attempt by you, by the town, to localize vandalism as a criminal act. So instead of treating it as a criminal matter wherein the money you collect goes to the school board and you're probably preempted by state law, I approached it as a code enforcement matter. So what I did was, if you can, and well, let's talk about that for a minute before I get into specifics. Treating it as a code enforcement matter involved where to put it in the code. And where to put it in the code would determine the remedies that you have available to you to abate, which is a word I would use a lot, which basically means remove that nuisance. If you could go back up to the very first page, I'm not ready to go to that document. So what I did was I made it into a public nuisance. And a public nuisance can be enforced. You already had provisions in the code, which I believe I have strengthened with some additional text amendments, to make graffiti a public nuisance in two ways. The vandal that does it, but the likelihood of getting that vandal to pay a fine and to remove the graffiti is remote. removal of the graffiti is a legitimate public health, safety, welfare issue. So I made it a public nuisance for the property to allow that graffiti to remain on the on his or her property after notice to remove it if it's not removed voluntarily before then. Once you have, so it either, and forget about the vandal for a minute because it's just not worth talking about. Let's take the property owner that fails to remove the graffiti after he receives notice from what I call the code enforcement officer, what you all call the building inspector, to remove the graffiti. The remedies would include the following: issuing a citation with a daily penalty that increases for each day the graffiti stays there, and the ability to go to court and get, in effect, what's an injunction or an order of abatement that allows, that requires the owner to remove that graffiti, or it'll be in contempt of that court order, which is a serious business. In addition, I've also drafted text amendments which make it clear that the, he can be in contempt of that order, or the court order could authorize town personnel or vendors of the town to go onto that property and remove it. And I'm going to digress for a minute because I found something today that reaffirmed counsel that I've been providing to municipalities for decades. You'll always see in the zoning ordinance, and you'll see in the general statutes, that the town has the authority to summarily abate violations of ordinances. And you would read that and think that you have the ability to go on to the property that's in violation and take care of it if the owner doesn't take care of it. And I've always counseled municipalities that that involves the risk of trespass. And but I've never had anything to point to. It's just common logic that told me that. Well, in looking at some of the issues surrounding the lighting ordinance, I found a 1967 United States Supreme Court that said without a court order, if you go on to property to correct an administrative violation, you violate the Fourth Amendment as unreasonable search and seizure, and the evidence is tossed out. So I now have a case I can cite that says, despite some language that says you can, as a town, summarily abate a nuisance, you can't. You can, but if you don't go to court, you're stupid. And so, coming back to my comments, I've strengthened the existing provisions to allow for several things. The ability to go to court to get an order of abatement, to have all court costs, including attorney's fees, awarded to the town and taxed against the property owner. And if the property owner doesn't pay those fines and fees and attorney's fees, they become a lien on the property.
Just very quickly, jump in there. When you talk about that, it's not just graffiti as a nuisance, but these are also, this is language you recommend changing to deal with the whole aspects that we currently have, such as weed growth, trash, and garbage, refuse, and debris.
That's a great question, because that segues into two little stories that I want to tell you. For a town in the northern part of the county, in 1 year, the following happened. Had a crazy man that decided to open a campground behind his house, ran his own PVC water lines, and I guess he put porta-johns on the property, I don't remember, but whatever he did, the health department got in an uproar about it, told him to stop, and he didn't. The town issued citations, and he didn't obey them. I went to court. I got the order of abatement. I got a TRO first, and then 2 weeks later, I got the order of abatement. And I got an award of attorney's fees of $6,000. This was back 15 years ago. Well, the man didn't have it. So we established the lien on the property, and it was in a redevelopment area, and when he sold the property to the developer, we got our $6,000. In that same year, there was a crack house hotel that had bothered the town for 10 years. And lo and behold, one night it burned down to the ground. This was after the mayor had promised 2 weeks earlier that we'd see some action on it soon. I don't necessarily connect it to a mayor. But anyway, you had this huge pile of rebar and ashes and charred wood and brick and masonry right at the entrance of the town. And I mean, this was a big hotel. It was a big pile. I was able to take advantage of the county. Well, what we did was we cited the hotel owner to remove the pile. Of course, he was in jail for various violations. The feds had arrested him on trafficking and drug charges, so he was in jail. We knew he couldn't get rid of it. But we also knew where he was, so there was no problem commencing a civil action, serving him while he was in jail, and going through that same procedure, getting an order of abatement, which forced him to clean up the pile. Of course, he couldn't, so the order of abatement gave the authority to the town to come onto the property. We took advantage of a county program at the time and got $70,000 worth of demolition debris removed at no cost from Brunswick County. But the point is, $7,000 in legal fees were awarded to the town in that case. It came a lien on the property and we got $7,000 back. And in this case, we got it from the U.S. Federal Marshal Service, which is remarkable. So in 1 year, based on text amendments that I've built into what we're going to talk about in a second, the town had 2 lawsuits, spent $13,000 legal fees, and got 100% reimbursed on that. So that's the approach that I took. You'll see that what we've done, by looking at the table of contents, we've added graffiti as a nuisance to the list of nuisances that are already in there. And you can go down to the...
And you've also added debris, too.
Well, we simply changed the title. Debris was originally in there, but I moved it because of striking the...
Oh, okay.
It's And Graffiti is the new title for that, let's see, for that
okay.
section or for that article.
So you're adding just one section, which is graffiti nuisance...
Right.
And which is part of this broader area.
Right, and before we leave this page, and foreshadowing the discussion that we'll have on the lighting ordinance, it would be my recommendation that if we go forward with the lighting ordinance, we establish violations of the same as a nuisance, and you would see below graffiti nuisance, lighting nuisance. But we'll come back to that in the next go-round. Andy, can you find the next page where I made some changes? There we go.
Sorry.
That's fine. Can we get the whole page up there from top to bottom? Yeah, there you go. That's good. So here's where we insert graffiti nuisance. I set forth the policy as A. And of course, policy is always tied to... You can zone, the town can zone because the authority to zone was delegated by the General Assembly for purposes of public health, safety, and welfare, and that's why you'll always see that mantra. So we set forth the policy provision using the chairman's language. Graffiti is the number one vandalism crime which significantly and adversely impacts property values and economic value and is often associated with gang activity, and that being prejudicial to public health, safety, and welfare, graffiti is hereby declared to constitute a public nuisance. In the definition, and I have 4 or 5 definitions in front of me, I really think that this covers it. It starts off broad by saying graffiti is any marking, yada, yada, yada. But then you go to the exemptions. Graffiti shall not be construed to mean temporary, easily removable chalk, yada, 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 markings in association with children's activities. Or 2, markings made on real or personal property with the property owner's consent, which do not violate any provisions of the town code, including but not limited to the town's sign regulations. So I think we've got a broad definition, but I also think we've got a broad exemption if it's lawful and in conformity with the town code. Hence my recommendation. Prohibition. Graffiti is prohibited. Any person engaging in graffiti, which is a new word that's actually in the dictionary, is guilty of graffiti vandalism under the statute and shall also be subject to the civil penalties and remedies set forth herein for the creation of a public nuisance. Number two, the owner is also subject to those same penalties and remedies for maintaining a public nuisance if the owner fails to remove all graffiti from the property within 15 days after the date on which written notice to obey is provided. So somebody repeats, John goes by, sees the graffiti on the building, sends a letter to the owner, documents when it's received, maybe by certified mail, green card receipt. The owner's got 15 days after the day he receives that notice to remove it, or else we go down, 020 and 030 simply get us to this point that I've just discussed. Maybe if we go to the next page, please.
Can I ask a quick question here? Well, one of the issues that came up when I was researching this last time is pornographic graffiti, okay, and that one of the towns really didn't have any graffiti ordinance to deal with this issue, and somebody went and marked a very pornographic type of thing on a major wall to the entry into this particular community. I'm asking this because right now that would still be there. I mean, if somebody did that here in Kiri Beach, you'd have that for 15 days. You know, I assume John would recognize it immediately. You know, issue a notice to abate. They would have 15 days to do that. If they didn't do that, then there would be additional time to go to court so that you'd have basically a pornographic picture on a wall to Kiri Beach for more than 15 days. That seems to be a different category of offense. I'm just talking off the top of my head right now, a different category of offense than graffiti that might look like, you know, Sally loves Henry type of thing, or a gang graffiti. But can you distinguish between really offensive graffiti versus just annoying graffiti?
Well, let me try to figure out where you're coming from. Why would you want to distinguish one graffiti from another?
Because you'd want it the...
Because you want to accelerate the...
Accelerate the abatement process. Yes.
Well, I would say several things. One, I think if you... Let's say you leave these provisions as they are, but you insert an exception for accelerating the remedy or pornographic or for graffiti that rises to a level that whatever you want to...
Yeah, like Nazi or white supremacist type of thing, too, you might...
But then you have a couple of issues. One, you've got to define that in such a way that what you want to do is covered. And you got to carve out a parallel set of provision, which to me seems more work than is necessary.
Okay.
That's the first point. Second point, if it truly is of an offensive nature, one, I think it's reasonable to assume that the property owner would agree to work with the town to let town personnel come on, give them the license to come on and help the property owner remove it. Yeah. The third point is this. If you look at 802.07, the additional remedies, the procedure set forth in this article shall be listed at the bottom of the page. Shall be in addition to any other remedies that may now or hereafter exist in law or equity, and this article shall not prevent the town, yada, yada, yada. I have to double check, but I'm 90% certain there's a provision in the general statutes that allow you to go to court and fast track. You know, I think under existing legal authority, you could be in a courtroom in a day or two after that offensive act and get the TRO that you want to go out and clean it up.
Okay.
I'm pretty comfortable that those I'll double check that, but I'm pretty comfortable with that. In other words, we have carved out, you already have carved out in the code that you're not limited to this, that you have the availability of any other remedy in law or equity to go forward in addition to these things. So if the statutes allow you to fast track it, this doesn't tie your hands.
No, I'm not suggesting we change this. In fact, I think it's excellent in the sense that you've condensed it even into a more condensed, clear statement versus what I was originally proposing, which by design was meant to be a rather short statement. So I think this is a very good approach here.
Thank you. So let's keep going through these amendments at the top of 040. If the owner fails to abate, you know, one thing again, I digress, but you'll see how I've constantly marked out from receipt of and inserted after the date on which. It might interest you to know that in the Rules of Civil Procedure, which govern civil actions, and in the general statutes, which there is a provision referring to every single statute in that wall of green books, it tells you how to count time. And counting time is pretty important, particularly if you're on the receiving end and you want to know how much time you have to work with. The day of the event does not, is day zero. The day after the event is day one. And the day when you have to do something is not included. So if I get my letter today and I've got 10 days, tomorrow is day one, and I have to make sure I don't, as the authority, I don't do anything until day 11.
And again, just to be clear, that once you're beyond your proposed 8.02.015, all your other recommendations and changes would apply to all nuisances.
Yeah, these are for all nuisances.
For all nuisances, right.
Yeah, I took the opportunity to strengthen nuisance enforcement. And going back to my digression about that 1967 Supreme Court case saying you needed an order to go on with the property, you'll see how I've included the last line of 040. In the event the employees or designated persons are denied entry on the property, the town shall have recourse to any available remedy in law or equity to secure entry. In other words, you go to court and get your TR. Cost charged to owner, A is already in the code. I've just corrected the how you count your days. B, in the event the town commences a civil action to collect an unpaid civil citation, which is what the owner could receive for failure to remove after the note, within the period of time, within the notice period of time, the town shall be entitled to recover from the defendant the cost of a civil action, included but not limited to court costs, enforcement costs, including expenses and fees for any related inspections, cleanup, or abatement, and a reasonable attorney's fee. And then you already had a provision for a lien, but I feel like I've strengthened it up a little bit by including attorney's fees, and in accordance with the controlling statutes, it's not just a lien on the subject property, which does have a higher priority. It's also a lien on any other real property owned by the defendant located in or within 1 mile of the town's corporate limits. Mandy, if we could, let's see. The bottom one there is the penalty is $25 for each day. I had a tough time with that amount. You're going against the property owner for something that he or she didn't do. At the same time, you want a deterrent effect. So if you all want to change $25, go for it. I thought it struck a reasonable balance, particularly when you realize that it's $25 each day. If I get the citation today and I don't remove it for 20 days, my fine is 25 times 20. So think about that when you just in a minute when you're getting ready to consider and act on these text amendments. Mandy, if we go to the next page, please. So, took away the criminality so you can keep the money and you're not preempted. Made both the creation and the maintenance the maintaining of graffiti as a public nuisance and strengthen the provisions in the code for remedying and abating all public nuisances, including graffiti. If you, so I'll turn it back over to you all to discuss. This is not a zoning, let's see, this is not zoning. You are in the position to review and report to council on these and recommend adoption, but you don't need a consistency statement. So I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
I had one real quick question. Under the unpaid charges become a lien, the last proposed sentence there is that the lien can be placed on any property within a 1 mile radius of the town's corporate limits. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that kind of standard or?
It's part, it comes from the statute.
Statute, okay.
Delegate that authority to the town.
Comments?
Yeah.
Questions?
So I guess it is on the $25 on an innocent person, so say somebody comes in, starts scribbling on their garage door, and it's somebody that's not mean, so it's like it's going to be expensive to take off. There's no way to distinguish between third-party victim, because that person is also a victim of the graffiti, even though the graffiti shown on his hat.
I don't think you can have it both ways. Okay. The statute provides for community service. Victim connotates a criminal element, which we, I think, are all in agreement to get rid of.
Get rid of, yeah.
But when I say you can't have it both ways, you either, the initial approach in the proposed document was to require the owner to remove graffiti because of its injurious nature. So I guess if you want to have it both ways, you could eliminate the penalty, but that simply means that if you don't get the cooperation, your next step is court, which is ratcheting down simply to ratchet up.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, I should say, ratcheting up to ratchet down, because court is going to cost them a lot more money than $25 a day. So, I mean, that's for you all to discuss, that's policy, but I took my cues from the proposal that I had in front of me. And to me, personally, it makes sense to impose a penalty if you're trying to social engineer the abatement of graffiti by the property owner.
I hear you, but I still have a hard time.
Well, again, that's for you all.
You see where I'm coming from.
I see where you're coming from, but I also see the need to have a dollar amount in there to encourage it to happen, and even though that starts off small, it will.
Remember, this would be action after the 15 days.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no.
Well, that's true. That's so not, it's not an immediate.
And again, I think Curie Beach, most people are going to want to eliminate it as quickly. I mean, if somebody painted on my garage door, I'd paint over it the next day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, 15 days, I have to admit. Yeah. So there's a time period for them to take care of it without a fine.
Yeah, I mean, so
people would want to get rid of it immediately.
Right, so this is really being applied to town people that aren't being cooperative, let's put it that way, so, or being good neighbors.
I just want to make a comment. This is obviously a lot more work than we thought, and this is an excellent response. I really do think so.
Well,
so thank you.
Thanks, I need that. After sheltering in place for months, I can do something like that.
Bill, any comments?
It was a challenge, When Penny dropped, it was able to fit it in everywhere. And based on those previous experiences, I mean, those were real life experiences. And it's a win-win situation.
I, since I proposed the graffiti and since I've seen the devastation that graffiti can cause a community that doesn't even have a plan for it, and if you don't have a mechanism in place to deal with it, we don't have a problem here, but this is simply, I think, planning ahead in case something does happen. What I would do is make a proposal to adopt the recommended changes to...
You want to entertain a motion to recommend the council to adopt these text amendments?
Yes, for section 8.02. So I'll make that motion.
Second it.
Okay, it's been motioned and Seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So I will present this at the town council meeting for May. Okay. All right, next item, which is a continued discussion of the light pollution ordinance and dark sky regulations. So
I'll take that, Chairman.
Okay, you want to start that one and then?
The best, it's not my place to do it, but nonetheless, I commend Commissioner Garceau for taking the horse by the reins and submitting some proposals. I looked at those proposals and I looked at, and I was surprised when I looked online for other jurisdictional examples. There are hundreds of them. That told me many things, not the least of which is that some work is going to be involved in getting a final ordinance in place, somewhat like the process we went through with graffiti. Some of that can be made more efficient by the process we went through with graffiti, because really all we need to do is develop a good ordinance, make the violation of that a nuisance, and plug it right into where we just were. Yes. That part can be expedient. But in looking over those other jurisdictional examples, several knee-jerk issues came to mind. And I've got them. If we can go to this one right here. I've got them laid out on paper for us to discuss. Thank you. And if you could, there's only one more.
We have that.
I don't see that.
Thank you. Number one, I read a lot of policy statements. The policy goals supporting regulation of exterior lighting are laudable and are legitimately justified for public health, safety, and welfare. And they are. They're important. Number two, because it's going to be somewhat of a comprehensive project, is council aware that PZC is engaged in this initiative?
I'm pretty sure that the last council meeting that I went to, I told the council that we are looking at this particular issue.
So
and I would.
Joseph. Council.
Yeah.
So we can continue to move forward then.
Yeah, in fact, I think I even asked permission
that
we would look at this.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
There are multiple considerations which need to be taken into account. A, possible red button issue, which I think is probably going to be mitigated because your approach is not so stringent or strict. But nonetheless, it could be a red button issue. Enforcement, we've already touched on this. I recommend that we use the nuisance effect, the approach that we used in graffiti, and not criminalize. An interesting issue is that it's a nighttime matter. Who's going to go out at night and measure these things?
Police. Come work it.
Because we're dealing with the science of light, compliance with the standards must be measured with photometers, and the reasonable person standard is not applicable. To survive, and that introduces...
Just very quickly, because that was a discussion we had last time, because we talked about it being a complaint-driven process, and you had suggested the reasonable person would be a solution to this.
We can go back and look at the minutes. My recollection is a little different. I discussed the possible application of a reasonable person standard based on my experience of noise ordinances. I don't know that I made a definitive statement we could utilize that. But in going through not only Mr. Garceau's proposal, but all these other model ordinances, there's a great deal of the standards are set forth in, I don't remember the exact words, ranges of lumens.
Yeah.
And a reasonable person's not going to be able to measure that with their eye. They got to use a light meter to make those measurements. So if I did leave that impression, I apologize, but the bottom line is, it's got to be measured with technology. And that brings forth the major issue. It's not an issue that we really have to address in the ordinance. It's an issue that has to be addressed internally by staff. But if we ever take a measurement, establish that a violation of a standard has occurred, and seek to enforce it, and we are challenged on that, or a defense is put up, this will be the issue. And it happens in every civil case where you have opinions. It's set forth in E. The use of the person using, this is what we would have to establish as a town in proving that the violation occurred. And this is the challenge we would get from somebody that had a lawyer that knew what they were doing. The person using the tachometer has a reasonable basis to believe that the technology, when properly used, can provide reliable information and that the person using it used it correctly. So you're going to have to be able to establish, and I'm taking the worst case scenario. We're in court. It wasn't handled, the injunction. We couldn't get the injunction. Summary judgment failed. We have to prove this. We have to prove that what we used was reliable and that we used it properly. And so in F, that kind of kicks back to the beginning, you know, what kind of tachometer are you going to buy, and what kind of training is necessary. But at the end of the day, it's like a radar gun. As long as you have something reliable and you use it correctly, then it'll be up to the lawyer to frame the proceedings in such a way that the issue in E is set forth. Number four, Commissioner Garceau's draft is a good starting point, offers guidance on the scope of how the town may want to regulate exterior lighting. The approach needs to be refined, specified, and translated into a legal document. This will not be a routine assignment. Once I begin drafting, I anticipate additional matters which require consensus. So, no problem. If several things here. If the town agrees with this approach, there won't be any issues characterizing it as a nuisance and falling back on the nuisance remedies and penalties. That's not an issue. On the other hand, it's very technical stuff with detailed specifications, which vary considerably from the hundreds of ordinances that are available online. I know, I intuitively understand Mr. Garceau's approach. Let's have some regulations, but let's not be too heavy-handed with it. My job, therefore, would be to take that concept or that thrust or that intent and wade through other ordinances to pick up the specificity that we need, detail that we need, and put those two together. That to me is why I say it's not a routine assignment. I also suspect that once I get my feet wet and begin to learn this stuff, that I'll have very particular questions that you all will need to provide a consensus on. So my recommendation is, let's take tonight to see if Commission agrees with the approach to regulating exterior light that Mr. Garceau has conceptualized. Once we have a consensus on how we want to proceed, in other words, the general scope of the approach, then I can draft and I can provide an initial draft at the June meeting and get my specific issues that I came up with in drafting that initial draft answered. And then in July, bring back text amendments for consideration and recommendation to council.
I you know, given what you've outlined here and the fact that it is not a trivial issue to come up with this proposed recommendation, I would propose to P&Z that during, when I attend the May Town Council meeting, that I discuss this again with the Town Council to make sure that they are on board with doing this. Joe, what do you think? Do you think that given what you've heard in terms that this is a non-trivial effort, that I should go back to the council?
Let me provide a little more time.
Just to make sure that everybody understands what we're doing.
We're not talking legislative update comprehensive or Chapter 160D comprehensive. We're probably talking the BD type comprehensive. So I'm not sitting here saying it's going to take, I don't know how many hours it'll take. It'll take more than the political sign amendment. It might take a little more than the graffiti, but it'll be, it won't compare to the amount of time the legislative updates are required.
But I want to make absolutely, I'm pretty sure I mentioned to the Town Council that we were working on this.
Just agreeing with that.
But, you know, given that what I've heard, I would recommend, again, you know, certainly it's the commission that can decide via vote, but I would recommend that we revisit that with the Town Council to make sure that they do recognize what we're doing and approve what we're doing. I mean, it's up to other people, but you know, I think this is significant enough, particularly since we had talked originally about this being a complaint driven, and we did check the minutes, and the minutes did say that you thought the reasonable person would be the way to go.
It's
right there in minutes.
I still think it's complaint driven. I just think
so, but it was going to be a kind of a more simple process, complaint driven, reasonable person, you know, maybe with any sort of outdoor searchlight, there's a timer on it, and that was kind of going to be it. And it sounds like it's going to be a little more complicated with people walking around with photo meters and.
That's only after a complaint, though.
So. I just want to make sure the Town Council's kind of on board with this.
You got to buy the equipment.
Yeah.
And train them.
I do think it sets up very nicely as a nuisance and fits with the rest of the discussion we just had on graffiti. So that definitely cleans up and expedites the process.
And I'm all for a lighting ordinance. So, you know, I've been bothered. I think almost everybody in the town has been bothered by a neighbor that forgets to turn off their lights or leaves it on.
I'd like to make a motion that we move forward with this lighting ordinance subject to approval of the Town Council.
Okay.
Can I amend that?
I'll listen.
That we not move forward, that we wait to hear from Town Council what we should do.
I think that's the same thing.
But it is okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we need a formal motion for this. If there's just kind of a consensus that I go back and talk to the Town Council and come back, I think that'd be fine.
Okay.
You know, without a motion.
I think I'll agree with that. I do think that, you know, it's important enough. Council needs to obviously be on board, and we have had public comment and complaint, and everybody's had experience with this, so it's something we need to do. It's just at what level does it get done?
And I will point out that we actually did have a complaint, a resident during our March meeting, you know, come here. So,
yes.
Yeah, we did have that one. So, I guess the motion would be to continue this item.
Okay. Subject to the approval of the Town Council.
Right. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Very good.
Chairman, while you got me, I just want to make a comment. There's a lot of COVID-19 changes happening every day, as I'm sure these ladies can testify to. Hot off the press this afternoon is the fact that the deadline for the 160D revisions has been moved from January to August. So that will give us some more time.
Okay.
For that. And also, and I can't make sense out of the statute, but I think it's permits, land development permits issued between, I think, March 10th and April 28th has an additional 5 months extended to to both their term and the vested rights provision. So these are all changes coming out of the recent bill by the General Assembly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item, prohibited uses. I haven't done anything more on this, obviously, with all the other things we've been doing. So I don't know, does anybody have any comments on that?
I went on the Matrix and added a couple things. Matrix is up.
It is up, okay.
Google, yes, it did a good job. So if you look at it, look at the list I came up with was put on there, and then that list, I guess, who came up, Bill?
I did.
Yeah, Bill came up with a list of other things. So you can pick and choose.
Beth wants to say something here.
There you go. That's yours.
Yes.
Right there.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so we do have the Matrix up there, and it's a... Is it Google Docs that we're using for this?
Yes.
Okay, Google Docs, which means that anybody can add to it. And so we'll just continue this particular item.
And I would say if you question, this is a recommendation. If you question somebody, let's put a question mark. If one of the commissioners feels like, no, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. So we understand that we have an issue with some of them versus just keep adding things.
Right.
Good point.
And so...
You know, and I think everybody can look at it and we can have a more fuller discussion at the next meeting, too. So, because I honestly, I haven't even looked at it. So.
Yeah, it's been locked along.
Okay. ADA ramps on residential homes. John?
Over the years, I've had requests from residents to put in handicap ramps, mainly due to health issues, as we have an aging community here. I believe we're going to have more of those. Every now and then we'll run into a situation where they do not have room to put that ramp in and remain compliant with the town ordinances in regards to setbacks. And a lot of times I have to get creative with them and try to explore different avenues. This has been a source of contention over the years. I have been cussed out numerous times. And honestly, I believe it's going to keep on coming up, and I feel like there ought to be some kind of allowance in our ordinance for these things to be permitted to extend into setback areas for a temporary basis. And I'd like to explore that, or maybe have the attorney look into the possibilities of you putting something like that into our ordinance to accommodate our residents.
Is the major issue the setback issue?
Occasionally obviously that's the only issue.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay. If we ever run into anything.
I don't know if there's materials or quality or anything like that. It's just all setback.
So this would only apply if there's no other reasonable choice available, so that somebody can't just say, oh, I want my ramp to go there and go through this, ignore the setback.
That's the only way I think it would work, yes, sir.
Question, Chairman? Do you think a variance procedure is too burdensome under the circumstances?
I think a variance would not be applicable. Variance has to show a hardship that's with the land. There isn't a hardship with the land. The house is built to the town zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
So my thought process surrounding this is that if someone were to become incapacitated for whatever reason and they want to place a handicap ramp on their property, they would basically sign an agreement with the town that whenever that handicap ramp is no longer needed or the house is sold, it is to be removed.
So it'd be a temporary subject to removal. Okay.
Yeah, we'd have to come up with something.
It would have to be very creative, but I think it would be a good thing for us.
When you get into, I've only brushed around these things, so you know a lot more about it than I do, but do we get into CAMA issues? I mean, are they going to have to get a modification of a CAMA permit? They're not going in the water to come into the land. Is that the idea?
I don't think CAMA would ever become an issue here.
It's more than ever.
I'm more looking at our residential areas, not necessarily oceanfront. Oceanfront, we've got quite a bit of room for people to work with. As far as that's concerned.
Yeah, we can come up with something that it is going to be.
So, excuse me, does the terminology like hardship exception or something, would that work for, something in the setbacks area of the ordinance to have an exception for hardship?
I don't, that's something we'd have to look at. the Google inquiry that comes to mind is variance as a reasonable accommodation, see what that spurts out, take it from there. But that's an element, but I've never seen a setback provision that carved out an exception. So we just have to figure out how to do it.
I'd like to hear a motion if the council or the commission feels that we should ask our attorney to investigate this issue.
Well, may I comment on that motion?
Sure.
Got a full plate for June, you know, so I'd be glad to inquire, but I'd like to do it. I understand the pressures, but I don't want anything else before June. I don't mind scratching the surface, but.
So I don't think there's any huge rush.
Right.
We did have another resident in the past, six weeks, had a stroke and almost immediately asked about putting in an ADA ramp. And that brought this to mind because it does happen. It probably comes up 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay.
And in most cases, it works out. In other cases, I have to tell them no, and then they put some kind of a lift device in their garage, and that blocks their parking. And
when you say it works out, is that because they could work with the setback? Is that what you mean?
I was able to help them work around going into the setback.
But again, maybe only 3 a year, just because I... Okay, all right. Now, I think we should have a motion because our attorney's time is billable time, so I think we do need a motion of some
sort. Let's put it on the, since he's already full, let's put it on the agenda for next month.
Why don't we make the motion this way, just to instruct the attorney to look into the issue?
I make a motion that we instruct the attorney to look into the issue of ADA ramps and setbacks.
Okay, is there a second?
Second,
okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I have something for you to chew on that one.
Okay, all right.
I have one other thing for you guys.
Yes.
With everything that's been going on over the last couple of months, in my discussions with some of Carolina Beach, some of my peers in Carolina Beach, it looks like they're going to try to put some kind of a manifest together for all rental properties and start treating them as a small business.
For what type of properties?
Rental.
Oh, rental properties, okay.
And I brought that up to town council, and they seem to be very interested in doing the same thing. So as that progresses, I'll probably be bringing that to you again for you guys to review.
I'd like to comment on that, if I could, just so that you are aware. I've referenced this a couple times, I was very involved. The short-term rental issues, that's what we're dealing with.
Downtown Wilmington,
and won an extremely grand slam home run case. And one of my arguments for which I cited both North Carolina and other states' opinions is that the rental of property is a residential act and not a commercial act. So, everybody needs to keep that in mind, because if you manifest it as a small business operation and somebody challenges it and uses my argument.
Maybe that was a poor choice of words. How about privilege license?
Well, I think they're prohibited on the local level.
Like a certificate we did kind of many years ago?
Well, oh, yeah. We had a lot of people show up for that discussion, too.
What's everybody trying to do?
Track the short-term rentals from everything from reporting to the county, the number of units, having good contact info for the managers and property owners.
Have you had an occasion to look at Wilmington's rates?
I have not.
I'd ask you to take a peek at their computer, but I'd ask you to take a peek at them, because that might be what you want to do. It ensures ROTs that it attempts to ameliorate nuisance type problems. It tracks, and in some cases it requires permits, and you can't be within 400 feet of another one. it allows them, but it regulates them in a way that seems to be free of those challenges. So I just would encourage you to take a peek at them. Matter of fact, I can, if I think about it, I probably have them as an attachment that I can email to you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And certainly we had this discussion. I think, Joe, you were on the commission at that time, and the real estate industry showed up in force with attorneys and everything. So
we had our infamous closed session.
That was a red
PNC.
Yes.
Oh. I think we had two.
I think the basic idea of this is simply to catalog all of the rental properties for emergency situations and other.
Right, and for paying taxes too. That's a big issue also. So, okay, excellent. All right, the only other item would be an agreement as to our June meeting time. When?
Chairman, I have
yes.
You have some? I want to put an update.
Okay.
And I should have put it on the agenda. I apologize for not thinking of it. Last meeting we talked, well, first of all, I'll preface this, that I've talked to the mayor and I thought this is way back on the back burner, but it's on the utilities issue.
The grant, yes, that's right.
Utilities issue, so, but I want to let you all know we did do some work on it. We talked to a couple underground utility companies. Both of them had indicated that in the first start that you got to go to Duke, because Duke has all the information that's needed. And as part of that, when I talked to Duke, they need to set up an order to do anything. And that's where we stopped it and said, well, I'm not going to worry the town council and the mayor about that now. So we have looked at it a little bit. And the next step is after all this goes down is to see if they want to go through that thing of having Duke actually put in a formal order. And the order is just to track the information in case we ever really want to do it. They have the information. They don't have to go back and recreate it. There's no charge or financial obligation for that.
Do you want me to raise that issue? And again, you could certainly come.
No, not at this time. There's too many other things with COVID.
Okay, all right.
I've just given you all an update on where Tony and I had gotten.
Because we certainly got the permission from the council to act in that manner. So,
right. But, okay. That's not something.
Okay, so that's fine.
So that should be added to our minutes for next month's meeting as a continued
yes,
item.
Yes, it should. Right. Thank you.
All right, so that'll be an agenda item for our next meeting. Okay. When is our June meeting?
June 3rd.
June 3rd. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes. I'm okay.
Yep.
Everybody's okay? Okay. So I don't have any. Is there any new business from any commissioner? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very good. Thank you.